Alright, let me tell you podcast listener something. Alright, this episode we had a couple of technical snafus in the making. I accidentally had like 3 or 4 different lines running at the same time. So, I just spent a bunch of time editing it, trying to make this episode the best I can. So let's go to its episode. This is happening episode 10 with the lovely Attica Wilde, the lovelier Hector, and the loveliest Diego. Podcast begins now.
I'm not condoning it. I understand it. However, when you like try to put like a bushel of flowers behind it, like a Jason Pollock painting, now you're just getting weird.
I'm actually pro this time.
Oh my god, that's the best. Like a Jason Pollock painting.
Exactly. Like your dick is not in a Playgirl shoot. Knock it off, buddy.
Yeah, like, the thing is, because the whole thing that started this conversation is that I almost got Hector beaten up on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, by Big E.
What happened?
All right, let's go. Get closer. All
right.
So, I'm telling, Hector and I, we love telling stories when we're drinking. So, we went to Exotica last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Hector, you want to tell the story of how that guy was bombing?
Well, me and Diego, we were at Exotica, as you mentioned, and, you know, I was having a great time, you know. I knew a lot of the people there, and I constantly made the same joke over and over. Every time I met a porn star, I'd be like, "Hey, this is the first time I've seen you without my pants around my ankles."
No.
But we met me and my friend. We met Evan Stone, and he's actually a really nice guy. Like
the Monkey Man.
I know Evan Stone. I know about porn.
So like I was really surprised that Evan Stone was my height.
Yo, he's short, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this guy has a dick so big, he needs, when he takes an airline flight, he has to buy a ticket for it, basically.
It's a carry-on.
Yeah, he has to put it in the overhead compartment. Anyway, so I was like, hey, Evan Stone, and the moment we saw, he's throwing his arms around us, we're like, he's a really nice guy. Which made me really feel really bad, because when he got on stage, he started trying to do stand-up. And the guy was bombing like Hiroshima. It was terrible. Like, every joke was about his personal experience. Like, oh, I did this chick and everything. First off, that's not a stand-up act. That's called bragging, you know? And, like, you could hear every cough. It was like a doctor's office. And they're like, yeah. And, like, it was the most excruciating 15 minutes I've ever been a party to in my whole life.
Yeah, I missed this entire segment. Like me, my boy, and a guest, we got lost on the way to the Exotica, in Edison, New Jersey, and I call Hector like, Hector, we're lost. Give me a minute. And Hector's like, you know, he's like, all right, and he's like, oh shit, it's Evan Stone. I'm like, who? He's like, it's the, and he sounded so happy. This guy has the biggest dick I've ever seen in my life. So as Hector's telling the story, in Clifton,
yeah,
I'm like, I say. If I was there, I would have just, like, heckled the guy. I'm like, show us your dick. And as I said that, I was looking at this really large man at the bar. And he gets up, he walks towards us, like, what'd you say?
What happened was, like, he said to you, then you turned and started talking. He said, what'd he say? He said, I just exclaimed, show us your dick. Which I guess in context, I realized that, I wasn't repeating what Diego had said. I was just explaining to the guy, hey, show me your penis.
So long story short, this really big, jacked up guy with muscles and a beard thought that we were yelling at him, show us your dick.
Did he show you his dick?
No. Sadly, he did not.
No.
That would have been the best part of that whole story.
Like okay, guys. Yeah.
Well, if you're asking, why not? So then from there, that's what I was just thinking about, like, dick pics for some reason that came to my mind. Like, I don't understand the psychology behind it.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, I'm talking to a girl, let's say, well, like, an OkCupid or one of these random websites. And, you know, it's like, hey, things are going well. Let me show her my dick.
Right? Like, that's one way. I actually have on my dating profile that I'm just like, so do not send me unsolicited pictures of your genitalia. Hmm. Therefore, I don't get any. Ever.
For real?
Yeah, for real. I'm also terrifying on my dating profile. I'm pretty sure I just scare away everybody.
No, don't make eye contact with me. Must send blood test.
Here's a funny story. I've myself never gotten a dick pic, you know, because I'm a dude, but there are gay guys out there, so I'm not gonna discriminate on that. But one time I was on a couple of dating sites, you know, all failures, by the way. And so I was on this one, I forget what it was called, like Adult Meat or something. I don't know what it was fucking.
Oh, it's the one that chick was advertising.
Yeah. So this one guy, a black dude, so he messages me. It's like, and I didn't know it was a dude, so I was like, oh, hey, how you doing? He's like, yeah, how's it going? I'm like, hi, how are you? I'm fine. You know, I'm not trying to be like mean, I'm just trying to like, and he says, okay, listen, and this is what he wrote verbatim, all right? This is what he wrote verbatim. He said, hey, listen, I know you're not gay or anything, but I'll tell you what, I'll suck your dick right now, and it's going to be good. I'm going to suck it down to the balls, and I'm going to curl your toes.
That's exactly how it went.
Exactly. So that's so he wrote this to me. Now I was taken back because I'd never received a message like this. You know. Now like, granted, it's no dick pic.
Yeah, but please let me put my dick in your mouth.
Yeah, like now granted, it's no dick pic, but it's in that perimeter.
Put your dick in my mouth.
You know, and I was like, and I said, listen, man, I'm not gay, but I hope you're this. And this is what I said verbatim. I said, listen, I'm not gay. But you know, or you find more, good luck.
That's so much nicer than what I'm sure you would have gotten from somebody else.
And then he responded, and I kid you not, you're really cool. Talk to you later.
So was your bitch.
Because you didn't use any derogatory words, and you know, tell him he's disgusting. You're just like, yeah, I'm gonna pass. Thanks.
Yeah, like I think. Because he knew I wasn't gay, so I think he took a lot of courage for him to, like, throw... Like, maybe I'm being a little too sympathetic, but I thought it would took a lot of courage for him to do that move.
Yeah. Because
it could have gone really, really bad, really, really fast. So I just decided to cut the guy a break.
Nah, I take no sympathy on men. Online.
Disgusting.
Men are gross.
We are vile creatures.
It's a good thing I'm a dude.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, but it never, what's funny to me is that it never works in the reverse. You don't see, like, some chick out, like, pulling out the clam cam.
Ooh, that should be the name of our band.
Oh, and, my like, God, you yeah.
Know, and, showing off, you know, showing the goods to some dudes, like, hey, cute, how you doing, young man? It's like, hey, how you doing, baby? Next thing you know, vagina.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, no, you don't get vagina, but I think sometimes guys just get boobs out of nowhere.
Yeah, I got boobs.
I got boobs out of nowhere.
But I'm
once.
Just like. I'm like, it's weird because it's like, when you see, if you read the conversation, it's like not even going in that direction.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And next thing it's like, oh, look at my new glasses, boobs. I'm like, I don't even see your face.
That's what I really love about those conversations, how they never lead up to the dick pics. Like, hey, yeah, you look really nice. Yeah, you're pretty cute. Genitalia.
Yeah.
That's basically there's no buffer zone.
Only Attica can use big words like genitalia in this house.
Oh, I'm sorry. Attica, you're trying to, it's your own fault. I'm trying to become educated. I told you not to let that happen.
Yeah, we're very dumbed down here.
Yeah. You mean lowbrow. There's a market for lowbrow. I mean, look at burlesque. It's lowbrow humor.
Our brows are so low. Our brows are so low, it counts as pubic hair.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
Texas on a roll today. I blame the lemonade.
I shouldn't be encouraging this, but that one was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, it was.
I'm a funny guy. When I was a kid, I actually wanted to do stand-up, and then I realized, like, I wasn't that funny. So I decided just to go other routes. But I always tell Diego, we should go to one of those open mics and just do it.
We're doing it.
Let's just do it. Let's just see. I don't care if I bomb. I just want to try my stand-up act, see if it works anywhere.
Yeah, just do it once.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd recommend doing it twice, because when you bomb the first time, you're going to learn what does and doesn't work, and then do it the second time, and it'll probably be better.
What was that name of that one burlesque show we went to? Was it in the basement?
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, was she the one?
Yeah.
You're the one.
Yeah, you may have to take off a shirt.
I did the burlesque, remember?
Yes,
that's who I am.
Yep, that was me.
Wait, because I know she made you take off his shirt. You did boy less.
Yes, I did it.
All right.
He was. What did I say?
No, you said I was like I was like, I guess I don't want to say I was heckling, but I like to like, you know, I was getting a lot of laughs, so I wanted to keep the ball going. And I said,
yeah,
"Watch
no,
him.
You didn't offend me. If you defended me, you would have known.
I know. I wasn't trying to offend you.
You were going to be funny about it, so I was like, "You want to come do this?" And you were like, "Yeah." I was like, "Then come on up here, Chris. Get the music."
And I did, and I was good.
What's on? Do you remember the old music you danced to?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember. I think that it was something ridiculous and like. It was either Raining Men or like I'm Too Sexy.
If it was It's Raining Men.
What's funny about it is like I had Darth Vader boxers,
yes,
and black socks.
You took off your pants?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Josh said it was the most horrifying thing.
Monkey Man.
Yeah, Monkey Man was there. He was like, "Oh God, I'll never erase that from my memory."
All right, yeah. So yeah. When I finally went downstairs, I just saw Hector topless, you in your post performance gear, and I'm like, great. Of course I miss everything. Good times.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, the party is everywhere.
That's so funny. Now I have some perspective. That's totally a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my first experience in the world of live action performance that involved stripping,
yeah,
was kind of like a prank, because I used to go to this club way back in the day. Like, if you see photos of me from like 1999 and you see photos of me now, two different human beings. So me and my boy Oscar, we were like super nerds, and we used to try to go into this club called Exit, and right now it's called Terminal 5.
Been there a couple of times.
Yeah, it's Terminal 5, yeah. But it used to be a nightclub. And if we went in after a certain time, the bouncer's like, "No, we're not letting you in here." So we had to get there early, and then they'll let us in. So one time we got in so early, we got there at 9 o'clock. Doors open at 10. We're like, they have to let us in. Once we get in at 9 o'clock, the bouncers are like, "Hey, go inside, but stay on the balcony. Don't go downstairs." And we're like, "Wow, thanks, guys." And they're like, "Yeah, don't worry. Just pay the cover. You know, we'll hook you guys up, blah, blah, blah." We're like, "Cool, thanks." When we get there, we get to the balcony. We see the downstairs in the main floor. It's all tables full of women. And we're like, "Wow, these guys have really hooked us up. Nice." Curtains open up. It was a Chippendale show. And I was like, "Yep, this is just, you know, like all the things you see, like in Revenge of the Nerds or whatever. That was us. We were the nerds, and we got...
Speaking of funny things, when I was a kid, I heard about Chippendales when I was a little kid. And when someone says, I was on Married with Children.
Yeah.
And Bud was, I was standing outside of Chippendales club waiting for the horny old ladies to come out. And like, when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute, the Rescue Rangers have a club?
Yep. I knew you were going there.
Yeah, because that's where my mind was.
The Rescue Rangers, yes. Yeah. So, there's that video floating around Facebook right now of like Joe Manganiello from Magic Mike doing, yeah, his like dance to the Backstreet Boys. Have you guys seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm actually a huge fan of Joey Mags.
Okay, well, he does this. So the context of the scene is just that he's like super down about the fact that he's like, you know, I don't even know why I do this anymore. You know, blah 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 blah. And the Channing Tatum is all like, you know, well, you know, it's because you bring a smile to women's faces, and you, like, brighten up their day, and you make them feel good for all of the, like, whatever, however long they're at the club, blah, blah, blah thing. And he's like, yeah, you're right, but I just have, like, no inspiration, because they had to make whole new costumes for some reason, whole new acts, I don't remember. I was really distracted by the Man Candy, but then to actually follow the plot. So he's like...
By the way, that's my stripper name.
Man Candy?
Man Candy. So they send him into this, like, I guess, like, a quickie mart, and they're like, go in there and make that girl smile. And it's this girl who just has this, like non-expressive face, right? So it goes in, and then the Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, starts playing. And he, like, does this, like, improv stripper dance in the middle of this freaking Quickie Mart. And it's hilarious.
It's in the movie Magic Mike, part two.
It's in the second one, yeah. Extra Large or XXL or something. I don't even know. But my point being, I showed this to my mother.
She doesn't know, but we know. That's how sad this is.
I see. So my mom is getting chemo right now. And so we went for a treatment today. And her nurse was watching this thing on like repeat. Show it to everybody in the room, and then she brings it over to show my mom. I'm dying because I've already seen it before, like twice. So my mother's just watching this. She goes, "Why don't you have male strippers like this in your shows?" Like, I'm working on it, all right? If I can find me a Joe Manganiello to strip on my stage, I promise you that I will.
Cough, cough, cough.
I think I hear my name being called.
Cough, cough, cough.
Because, my mom came for the first time to see me dance this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Last weekend. And she was, like, impressed with it. She didn't think I was a total slut, which was wonderful.
Yeah, you posted.
So she was just like, why don't you have more dudes in your show? And I was like, well, there aren't very many in the scene that aren't really artsy and very flamboyant. There's a very small window for straight stripper men, and they apparently don't actually want to do that.
They're all taking big dick pics.
Oh. They're all taking dick pics.
That's right. That's their resume right there, dick pics. Yeah, actually, if I could.
That needs to be a stripper name. Some stripper, some boylesque needs to be Dick Picks.
Yes!
The P-I-X.
Yes!
That's your stripper name, Hector.
It's happening.
Yeah. Yes. I remember my boy Big Gay Carlos for his birthday, which is around Halloween.
Uh-huh.
He used to have, obviously, male dancers for his Big Gay Halloween birthday party. And I remember I was kind of married at the time. And I brought the wife there, and I just remember her yelling, "That's the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man." I'm like, "That's it. You're never coming to any of these gay parties again." Oh, good times. Actually, no, they weren't.
Denial.
Yeah, bad times. There was something else I was gonna say. Going back to the whole. Actually, Hector, we could go quickly back to the. We can end, because the last couple of weeks of this podcast, we've been following my attempts to court this young lady.
Yeah.
And it finally ended horrendously a couple of days ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, like, to quickly catch up, first day she hated me. Actually, she actually called me Aaron Carter. She used to call me Aaron Carter, bringing it back to, is he a Backstreet Boy?
No, I think he was a pop star's younger brother.
No, Aaron, one of the Backstreet Boys, or one of the NSYNC guys. Anyway, or Nick Carter. No, she called me Nick Carter.
Okay.
So, you know, make it fun of, because, you know, I just got my hair done, did blonde, Swedish. And, so, you know, and then, long story short, she saw me squatting some guys, and, you know, like, it's the homoeroticness of it all kind of, like, piqued her interest.
Uh-huh.
But, so we start talking, and one night we're, like, we're at a house party, and, you know, I'm a little drunk, and she's still making fun of me for my hair while we're kind of flirting. And I went to, like, karate chop her, like, quiet you, like a quick, fake karate chop. And she blocked it.
By the way, the sexiest of all the karate moves.
It is true. So when I was, like, give her, like, this fake karate chop, she, like, blocked it, and I accidentally grabbed it. Like, the block made me actually, like, touch her boobs.
Yeah.
And she was like, "You got a cheap feel." I was like, "No, I didn't." She's like, "You got a cheap feel." And I thought she was joking around. Next day, I got, like, an email or a message, like, 5 pages long about how I'm a creep and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, wait, what?
No.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a bunch of, like, you know, nicknames I could take. You know, like, you know, if she said I was obnoxious or I'm a doofus or whatever, I take it. Well, she said creep. My, I was just like, what the hell? Off a fake karate chop? That it was obviously an accident. So, long story short, that's not happening. And maybe, you know, I think it's for the best, because if you're gonna think I'm a creep over an obvious mistake, who knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So, the end to that. So, yeah, our next subject, after dick pics, we're gonna talk about female Viagra.
A.K.A. me!
Yeah, actually, that's my stripper name, Female Viagra.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. At first, I was kind of, like against it, because, like, you know, in case you don't know, like, male Viagra is about, you know, if a man's willing, but he physically can't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's, and so the pill makes him do it, but the female Viagra is more mental.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about physically helping
all
out.
It does
it's about,
is remove headaches. Yeah.
So female Viagra is about, like, inducing a chemical in a female's brain, so it makes her more ornery. And that's the part.
Ornery?
Ornery, yeah.
What are you, Yosemite Sam?
A little bit. So,
your honor and varmints!
So that was my objection. But then my friend, who's like into like the whole pharmacy business, wrote like a novel about the pros of this female Viagra.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about it, or do you have any opinion?
I don't know anything about it, but I just know in general, like, women really are very cerebral when it comes to sex drive. So if there's something that can actually stimulate that, then that's totally a thing. They should do that.
All right, cool. So I was against it because I felt like the way it was told to me originally, it sounded more like ecstasy than.
Well then no, that's a terrible idea. That's like date rape.
Yeah. But then she was saying that it's not like ecstasy because it's like a.
Well, I think it's still kind of like, and I say.
Yeah, I think it's more like long term ecstasy because if you don't just pop the pill and it makes you horny.
Well, here's the thing.
You have to take it for a couple of weeks and then it's like, all right, now my libido is not ready to go.
It's one thing when a guy is and he gets an erection. Like, he's still himself, you know, he's not, like, high or anything. But if you're altering a woman's thoughts.
Brain chemistry.
You're basically forcing her to think in ways she doesn't want to think.
If she's taking it, she's forcing herself.
That is a very good counterpoint. If the woman herself is taking it, then what can be said?
Now I need to go do some research on this female Viagra thing, so I can write a freaking blog post about it.
Yes, please do. And then come back to us and be like, hey, I've learned a lot because after this conversation, Hector and I are going to do no more research.
Yeah. We actually, if we educate ourselves too much, we actually explode.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're only allowed a certain amount of education per week.
Hector, we're doing a commercial.
I noticed you guys use some vocabulary words. Are you filling up your quota?
Yeah, we're
kind of.
We're losing our word stuff fast, quick.
Yeah, I remember one podcast taping. We started off really hot, almost said hot and heavy. We started off really it was like pretty smart. Like, hey, Hector, we were getting smart, but you know, we were doing a lot of drinking. By the end of the podcast, I was like, Hector, you just keep talking. I'm done.
Was that the one where you kept asking me questions about bands and shit?
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything to talk about. I just asked you about bands.
Yeah.
Hector, we're doing a commercial. And this commercial is for Possessions 2. It's a book on Amazon.com. Look it up, people, if you want to read. You know, reading is good, guys. Use your imagination. It's good times. Look up Possessions 2. One of the stories is written by my boy John Reddy from Vancouver. And while I got you here, my sultry voice, look up our other podcasts. We got Metal Kingdom. We got Movie Marks. We got The Road to Tokyo Dome. We got The Super Dance Party. We got Across the Multiverse. God damn, Hector, we got a lot of content on this podcast network for free. ThisHappening.com.
Because of it, I had to learn how to count over three.
There we go. So, guys, commercial time is over. Enjoy the rest of this podcast.
Right. And we're back on the line with Miss Attica Wild. Attica, how are you today?
I'm really good.
All right. So, how long have you been in the game of the burlesque?
I think it's been about 5 years.
5 magical years. And how does one get started in this field of love?
I kind of fell into it. It was something that I really liked, and I saw a bunch of shows. And then I talked to Veronica Varlow when I was at Hell's Kitchen, which I've been to with you before.
Yes.
And she told me to do it. And I was sitting there like, me? Are you kidding? I could never.
Little old me.
5 years later.
You're like, you've become like one of the alphas of the New Jersey scene. Is that safe to say?
What was that?
Is that safe to say that you've kind of like become like one of the alphas of the Jersey area?
I use the word mentor. It ends up not upsetting other people. But yeah. I think that's safe to say.
All right, cool. And so you out of school, right? When I got the cheap plugs out the way.
Yes. Last October, with Mr. Khan, who runs Ink and Paint Burlesque Club,
uh-huh.
And with Vivi Noir, who's part of my troupe, Smoke and Mirrors Peep Show, as well as has her own stuff on the side too. we decided to start the Garden State Burlesque Academy, which has been doing okay. I mean, it's still kind of in its first year. So you know how new businesses work in their first year.
Yeah, it takes a minute to catch on. A
little bit. But it's good. I've met a bunch of people through it and helped a lot of women discover themselves and their sexuality and like confidence and body positivity and stuff. And that's generally why I do what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad you do what you do too. let's see what else. I know Lily. I'm trying to get her on the show, but she's all Miss Anti Skype and Google Hangouts and that's my little buddy right there.
What do you mean? I've totally Google Skyped her before. No?
Yeah, no, she said something's wrong with her Skype, so she needs to
okay. That was forever ago, so
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, so she's having issues with Skype, so she's all like, let's do Google Hangouts, and I don't feel like starting another thing, so that might take a minute.
If you have a Gmail account, you already have Google Hangouts, my friend.
Alright, I guess I'll look into that. anyway, I know she's doing something this week, and I was supposed to go, but then I just got booked somewhere else. Someone left a comment on her page, and same thing on, like, a QXT's page, when people mention burlesque, they're like, oh, is it, like, stripping? And, like, how annoyed do you get when people say that to you?
It doesn't bother me. I'm one of those, I'm a rampant feminist, if you haven't noticed, from being my friend and seeing me in general. I'm a feminist. I see absolutely nothing wrong with sex work, with stripping, with being called a stripper. I think there are differences between your everyday strip dancer. Most strippers probably make more money than us burlesque dancers. But other than that, there's just like, I have personal space issues. So therefore, I don't like someone in my space, which is the only reason that I wouldn't be a stripper. Because I'm sure if you look on the internet, there are naked photos of me. There are half-naked photos of me. There's pictures of me dancing. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, the life I lead. So I'm not opposed to stripping. I just don't like to be touched. So the idea of a lap dance, which is how most strippers, I believe, make their money, yeah. I can't. Yeah. I can't do it. But, you know, all the power in the world to those who can. So to me, I don't think that being called a stripper is a bad thing. And in fact, I often refer to myself as a fancy stripper. And the only reason I say fancy is because I put rhinestones on everything. And I don't think strippers have a lot of rhinestones.
No, some do. I kind of live with one, and she has all over her shoes.
Shoes. Well, we all like sparkly shoes, but like yeah. I'm just covered in rhinestones and glitter and stuff, so yeah.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite memories or at all or anything of like any favorite gigs that stick out in your head or at any point in time?
All right, so this is gonna be really cheesy, but I hope you're ready for the cheese. Always. The first time I ever performed at Hell's Kitchen was actually like a really big moment for me, and it wasn't even a big show. I think it was technically a volunteer show, by the way. I'm pretty sure it was for it wasn't GLOW. I don't think GLOW was my first time. It was for the fundraiser they do for the dogs.
Oh, Wolfstock? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you were?
Yeah. So I was asked to do, well, they put up a thing about it. I was like, me, pick me. Because I wanted to perform at Hell's so badly, because I'd been performing for years before that, but I'd never gotten into Hell's Kitchen Lounge. And finally, I was asked to do it, and it was a volunteer thing because all the money went to, like, you know, the dogs and stuff, so that was totally cool.
Yeah,
but I was freaking out about it, and I was really excited to perform at Hell's because that's where I saw all of my first burlesque shows. It's where all of my heroes had danced, and I'd seen them, so that was a pretty emotional moment for me. And I wouldn't say that it was the biggest show, like my best favorite, yeah, because I can speak good English.
Yes, we can.
We can. My best show, though, one that really touches me, was right before my back surgery. I had spinal surgery last January.
Mm-hmm.
I did my last show, which was at Roxanne Duke's, which is another of my favorite venues. It's literally 10 minutes from my house. I grew up right around the corner, and we sold out the venue. So I was really stressed out because it was a show with that Mr. Khan and I had put on together. So it was my troupe, Smoke and Mirrors Peep Show, versus Ink and Paint. And it was not supposed to be like, you know, a cat fight versus or like a battle royale. It was definitely supposed to be something more along the lines of, you know, like a music mashup.
Yeah.
So like each girl had an act that like complemented or brought out things in the other. So it was really cool concept, and it was a really good show. But I was really worried about it. And then right before I went on stage, I was the first person to perform. I opened and closed the show because it was my last show for a couple of months. And right before I went on stage, someone comes running back to me, just like, Attica, we sold out the venue. Like, they're literally turning people away. And my phone starts blowing up because I have all these friends who wanted to come see me perform for the last time, and they couldn't get in. And I was like, well, you should have bought your tickets in advance. But it was the coolest feeling ever, having sold out one of my favorite venues. And it's not a huge venue. But I mean, as an artist, I'm sure you know that feeling of like, oh my God, I actually like accomplished something. This means something.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, the goal is, no matter what size of the venue, is to fill it up, so.
Exactly. And I mean, I've had like hair and makeup shows. I've performed for shows, you know, on the flip side, which I assume is your next question. Yeah. Flip side, I've performed in a dirty 10 people and they're barely paying attention before because that's where the gig was booked. I performed at a Mill House basement that's in Trenton, and we had some really good shows there. And then one show, nothing. No one showed up. There were literally 10 people and they were so disinterested in the four of us stripping. It was ridiculous.
Was it the one in the somewhere in like lower Manhattan?
Oh God, no, I forgot about that one. That one wasn't good either, but that was the one in lower Manhattan was at
the venue closed anyway, so you don't have to remember the name.
Yeah, I don't remember. I probably shouldn't call them out anyway.
I burned that bridge. That's okay.
Yeah, there was some lower Manhattan gig that I did, and it was not a good time. They didn't advertise at all. The person who had actually set it up for me didn't advertise at all and went on vacation right before. So there were four people there, and yeah, we didn't make any money. Any. None. Because at that point, it was supposed to be, you know, like 10 or 15 to come in. We didn't have anybody in there, so we just made it a free show to get everybody from the upstairs bar to come down.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, I was working the door that day, and I physically missed the performances, but I was working at door that day.
Yeah.
So I was like trying to corral people inside. I was like, please, free show, go inside.
Right. It was terrible. But.
What can you do? Live and learn.
Exactly. That's pretty much what it goes. That's how it goes.
Do you have any upcoming shows? We should have done it earlier, too. I should have mentioned that earlier. If you had any upcoming gigs.
Okay, so Saturday, I'm double booked. I'm running up to the Catskills at Blackthorn Resort. They have a motorcycle rally. So me and a couple girls are going to be doing some classic burlesque at the god-awful time of 2:30 in the afternoon. Who wants to see strippers at 2:30 in the afternoon?
Everyone in my room right now is raising their hands. I'm in the studio, not my room. The studio.
Okay. So I'm going to do that. And then you can catch me at Hell's Kitchen.
When? This Saturday?
Yeah, for Glow Burlesque.
Well, I know what I'm doing this Saturday.
Yeah, you should come out.
Yeah, well, we're doing the wipeout run early. And we didn't know what we were doing afterwards.
Well, you should come to Hell's Kitchen and drink with
Attica and I. Pitchers of beer. We don't want glasses. Yes. We want pitchers of beer. And it'll be good.
I like wine though. Can I have wine?
Sure. I didn't even know they sold that at Hell's. But if they sell wine at Hell's, like, buy the lady wine.
Yes, they do. They totally do.
Well, look, Dave trying to be wine.
Me? Oh, Dave.
Via Dave. Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna mention that. Had I known you earlier, I would have got you that gig at Hell's much, much sooner.
Well, thank you. It's okay. I probably wasn't ready for it much sooner.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I have a pretty steady amount of gigs there now, which makes me happy.
Good times. Going back to Hells. Yeah, I accidentally, I was going to mention this on the next episode with my friend Sunny. I accidentally, this last Saturday at Hells, we went to see my friend's Orvin perform, which they'll be on the show in a few weeks. Uh-huh. And then, I got a little drunk, and I went to Hells, and for some reason I got corralled. I wasn't booked, but I got corralled into the DJ booth, and I started spinning. And I didn't even know, it was like a gay Comic-Con after party or something, and no one told me anything. I just had to cater to the crowd, or I would have been more prepared, but what can you do? Hell's Kitchen. Good times.
Well, that's the life of an artist. You always make sure you have an oh shit bag in your car or whatever it is you travel with, so that if you get corralled into something, you have something to do.
Yeah, I'm not really an artist. I'm just a drunk buffoon who does stuff.
Just a drunk buffoon.
Yeah. I sell myself well to ladies. I'm a buffoon. I was talking earlier in private, I don't want to get into details unless you want to, but about needing certain vehicles needing a woman's voice. Is that the word you used? A woman's touch or woman's voice?
Are we talking about my blog and possible radio show that we're hinting at?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all started because so the last couple of weeks I've just been on Facebook, as you know, as you do, around that definitely work up my feminist ire. And I'd like to not think of myself as an angry feminist, and I really like to think that my brand of feminism involves everyone. And I try not to make it very gender specific unless it needs to be gender specific. Because, you know, at the heart of it all, feminism should be about equality.
Yeah.
So I've been bitching about this for God knows how long. Like, why don't you start a blog? You know, you're a writer, you do all these things, you should just have a blog. And I was like, you're right, I should totally do this thing. So just yesterday, which is funny that people decided to ask me this today, just yesterday, I started a feminist blog. And I'm generally going to talk, you know, how you can be both and how you can, you know, you don't have to hate men, because I don't hate men. I like men. I like women too, but generally, you know,
yeah.
I don't hate men. I don't think if that makes any sense at all.
No, I just think certain people, and I this might get like there's these ladies in Times Square that they're painted up, mm-hmm. or they're like, you know, body paint, and right. apparently they're getting into some trouble. Like this one chick cursed out one of the girls, and they got into a brawl. There's been like chatter, but nothing official of these girls getting like getting groped and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends, a female, posted on Facebook. She's all like, "That's what they get," and I'm like, "No, that's not what they get. That's not what they deserve."
Oh my God, it gets me so bad. I've even been in places like Hell's. You know, I've never been that's not true. I've only been I got groped by one dude at Hell's, and I thought Dave Metis was gonna knock him the fuck out.
Yeah.
Sorry. We don't curse, right?
Yeah, we do. There's plenty of cursing. Like, the first half of the show, we're talking about dick pics.
Anyway, I thought Dave was going to knock him out, but or he was worried I was going to. I'm not quite sure which.
Yeah.
Other than that, the mostly women I get the most shit from, as a female entertainer who takes her clothes off for money.
Yeah.
It's women that give you the nasty looks and, you know, tear each other down, you know. It's upsetting, and it's a thing that needs to really be addressed in general, which is kind of my point with the whole blog thing. And so I wrote a post yesterday because a mutual friend of mine, who is, you know, a vague acquaintance, posted up this thing about, you know, false rape accusations and how if a woman falsely accuses a man of rape, she should, you know, suffer all the same injustices that this man would. So I spent like hours yesterday researching just to see what these statistics are. And the statistics of false rape accusations are between 2% and 8% of all of the ones that are actually, you know, put out there.
Yeah.
That actually reported, officially reported. We're not going to talk about the amazing amount of ones that haven't been reported.
Yeah, I was going to say that next. Like, the amount that's not reported is like, we will never know that figure. That's just an insane number. I mean, it's a frightening statistic.
it's a really frightening statistic. I mean, think about it. I had a, I go on tangents, but I had a thing where I was hosting and producing a comedy burlesque show at Roxy and Dupes. And after a couple shows, I had to pull the comedians aside and be like, look, guys, no more rape jokes. None. It's not funny. I don't like it. Stop it. Knock it off. And they were all like, you know, upset about this. And we're like, I don't understand. I was like, well, you know, how do you think someone who's been raped feels listening to your jokes? And they're like, well, you know, it's fine. They're just being sensitive. And I'm like, do you respect me? And they're like, yeah, of course I do. I was like, well, it makes me uncomfortable. I've, you know, been a victim of sexual assault. It upsets me. It offends me. It makes me uncomfortable. It's nothing to joke about. And it shut them right up. It's like people make these jokes and think of these things in the abstract. You know, it's never happened to me. And as far as I know, it hasn't happened to somebody that I know. I mean, I don't think I know any burlesque dancer that doesn't have some sort of sexual harassment, sexual assault, or abuse, or something in her past, you know, that made her need to express herself and take command of her sexuality and her body and all of those things. And so it just boggled my mind that people don't understand that this is a big problem and not to trivialize it.
You know, I mean, to be honest, even if we take the word burlesque out, like, I think the majority of my female friends have something that's happened from something minor, like you know, like her ass getting grabbed. Well, I don't say minor, but in comparison, like her ass getting grabbed at a subway station to a guy just, you know, forcing himself all the way. You know, it's like from the whole spectrum. It's happened.
Absolutely, it absolutely has. It's definitely a problem. Which was, you know, my big point with this whole, you know, meme that's going around and stuff. And, you know, maybe it's not a big thing, but I saw it twice that day and I just lost my mind. So I wrote up this whole thing about it. And, you know, my arguments, I thought, were pretty well articulated. I try not to make it accusatory, like, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about, because that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just talking about, you know, the facts, the things that are there, and, you know, trying to discuss. But at a certain point, you like, you just hit a roadblock. People just don't want to hear it.
No, they're
just like, no. If they're lying, they should be punished. Yes, I totally see your black and white point of view, but the world we live in isn't black and white, is it? It's like a billion shades of gray.
Yeah.
You know, so my hope to you, start prosecuting, you know, on this ridiculous whim. You start prosecuting women who have, you know, maliciously lied. Well, it's a slippery slope. So then you're going to eventually start prosecuting women who just weren't able to prove their cases.
Yeah,
all of these cases that are put out there, 75% of them are usually thrown out. They can't be prosecuted. They can't be convicted.
Yeah, I don't know what the specifics are, but I've always heard the word rape kit.
And there's something there. Sinking billions of dollars. There's billions of rape kits that haven't even been processed.
Yeah.
How does that work? You have all of these things and these women who are waiting for closure, for justice, and it's just whatever. Yeah. On the flip side, someone brought up a while back, just to make my point that it's not always just about women, but feminism's equality. So women in general, in prison, they'll withhold like some form of getting them, but they'll do the same thing to men by withholding toilet paper and other sanitary items that they need just to have human basic hygiene. Like, it's just it boggles my mind that these are things that are allowed in our country and allowed that these things happen.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, that's a whole lot of things that
I go off on tangents. It just happens.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good in the hood. I mean, if you didn't go on tangents, this would be a boring podcast. I'm like, Etika, what's your opinion on something? I don't have an opinion. Then I'll just be stuck here on my ass, like, not knowing what to say. Wait, one sec. I'm just pouring myself some lemonade. As my audience knows I'm not drinking lemonade.
You're not drinking lemonade? No?
No, it's not lemonade. It's a new drink that one of my good friends, Nikki, she just invented. She calls it Skittles, but I call it something else. I call it the Dragon Wave. It's orange vodka with light beer. It sounds gross, but it's actually pretty good, and it does the trick.
Now I'm jealous. I only have water over here.
Oh. Well, on Saturday, we'll get you some wine.
Deal.
Yes. Close it. So let's just wrap up real quick, because we're at the 25-minute mark.
Cool.
Attica, it was great having you.
Thank you so much.
If you have any more plugs, I go beyond Saturday.
Every weekend in October, I'm somewhere. So I'm at Hell's Kitchen twice the last two Thursdays of October. I think I'm in Allentown, Pennsylvania with Looking Glass Review. October. Oh man, I don't have that in front of me. Well, yes, I do. I'm lying. Yeah, I'm everywhere, all over October. October's like Christmas for burlesque dancers.
Yeah, it's my Christmas too. Swedish Christmas. Do you have a website like Attica? What's a Tumblr? So people can actually find a Tumblr.
Facebook, yeah. So Facebook, Attic Wild. You can search it; it comes up. My Tumblr blog is The Wild Feminist, Wild with an E.
Oh, so, like your last name. I see. That's a play on words right there.
Right? Sometimes I'm clever. All right. Thank you so much for having me. I had fun.
All right. Now we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be
right back. And once again, thank you to Miss Attica Wild for dealing with our buffoonery. Thank you to Hector for, you know, helping out as usual. And most importantly, thank you, fans, the listeners. Please keep sharing us on the Facebook. Keep tweeting it or retweeting it. Keep Snapchatting it. Is Snapchat a thing? Oh, if it is a thing, make it happen. Rate us on iTunes. If we're on iTunes, I actually have to look that up because I really don't understand this RSS bullshit. I hope you guys enjoyed the show despite all the splicing had to do. You know, had a Frankenstein this bitch up. And we did use the word dick a lot. If you're offended by the word dick, then I apologize or whatever. If you like the word dick and you don't care, please listen to this episode again and play the dick drinking game. Where you take a swig of beer, swig of whatever, or tell me the word dick. So, dick, dick, dick. See you next week. Dick.